And so I want my kids to know that the best part is being a family. So we, you know, because of sheer numbers, we do stuff together. And I'm okay with that.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. This week's episode is part two of the Family Man Rally episode. So if you didn't hear the first part, you can go back and listen to last week's episode and hear the guys introducing themselves. Take it away, Todd.
I love being a dad, except when I don't. It just gets better. It keeps getting better. I mean, the relationships are deeper. The laughter is funnier. You know, it just feels fuller. And people ask me all the time, you know, how you doing, Todd? And I often say, I just feel full, you know, as a dad. So I'm going to just ask, and you don't all have to answer. I'll stand in the middle and I'll hand it to you. Tell me what you like about being a dad. What's the best part of being a dad right now for you? And just kind of go like that, and I'll... Okay.
So, this is Drew, by the way. This, my mom, when I was a kid, she told me, she says, you know, when you grow up, I hope that you have a kid who acts exactly like you, right? And so my first one is almost a carbon copy in every sense of the way of who I was and who I am now and who he's turning into. And so I get to text my mom and say, guess what? Your curse came true and it is freaking awesome, right? So that's the one thing that I like about it is not that, and he comes by that naturally, but I get an opportunity to train my boys and try to teach them what it is to be a man, and of course that takes different shapes for all of us. So in saying that, it's not about teaching them how to be their dad, but to be their own man, and just teach them what it is to respect other men as well. So it's pretty cool.
That's the thing. We don't have to teach them to be their dad because they become their dad. I was talking to one guy and he's like, and he had a son who just kind of was struggling. And he said, you know, my son, he said, I was talking to him and he's like 30 plus now. And he said, Dad, you know, when I was 18, I didn't think you knew anything. When I was like 22, I thought you were dumb, you know. And by when I was 27, he goes, I didn't even like you. And then he said, by 31, he goes, I am you. That's awesome. How about somebody else that you like being what do you like being about a dad or a husband right now? Anybody, Paul.
All right, so this is Paul Henning. Our daughter is 28 years old, and so the thing that I really like in this chapter is when the phone rings, and it's her, and she says, "Hey, you got a minute?" And sure, and she says, "So this is something I've been praying about lately," and I love that. Two things: one is that she's praying, you know, just that evidence that is such a part of her life. I know that if I shoot her a text and, you know, say, hey, so-and-so that you know, pray for them right now, I know that whatever she is doing, it doesn't matter. She stops right then and prays for that person. So I hope she's not driving. And the other thing that I really like is just those phone calls. Just that, you know, even though she's been out of the house since 2010, you know, she's very much an adult. She has a life and a job and a church and all of those involvements, and she still calls just because she still wants to talk to Dad and get Dad's input, and I love that.
Somebody else? Anybody?
Yeah, this is Frank Stapleton. I'm just going to share my goal as a dad and how that's changed. When I entered into fatherhood, I wanted to shape my children to be completely not like me. I was raised I come from an Irish family, so our idea of fun growing up was drinking and fighting, and fighting and drinking. My goal was to make sure my kids weren't like that. But the ironic thing is about, well, until my daughter came along, I think I was right on track to raising them just like me. And it's amazing how God puts people in our lives at the right time when we're ready for that change. And I can say that I am not the same person I was 4 years ago. And I can see the change in my boys already. It's pretty amazing. So I just want to encourage dads out there to realize that we really don't have our hands on the reins. We might think we do, but it's God that is steering our lives if we surrender to Jesus Christ.
Anybody else?
I'm Brian Gross. My oldest son, I had the opportunity, them being in college and, you know, summer jobs and all those kinds of things, so that I don't have to pay for everything. I actually got the chance to work with him this summer. And the testimony with the company I work at, the testimony of the other people around my son was so encouraging. And so when you get to the point of, I got a 21-year-old that's mostly away from me now, and so now my influence is much smaller. But to see that God is worked all the way through all the mistakes that I made and as we were going through, but he's still got his hand on him and how he's molding him even now to change, to be an influence around people that all they're doing is seeing him very few moments. But they still, there's one lady who she still asks about him every time I pass through her area. And she'll, you know, oh, he's such an encouragement. How's he doing? And I'm like, well, I hope he's going to class, you know. I hope he's not playing a video game.
Somebody else. Well, then I'm going to change it a little bit and say maybe the opposite. So right now, you know, what's the hard part of being a dad? Or what's the part that you wish maybe you could do a little better, or that you're in the midst of the struggle? I'll tell you, just for me, and this is not a general thing, but there are certain kids that are easier for you, and not easier like you like them any better, or they're just so. My oldest son Ben, he's super intense, but he's an amazing person. I mean, some of you were talking to him last night, but we're kind of working on a project together. And it's after every time we work on this project, he goes to his house, which is next door. And I used to get an email, and it's this: I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry I got upset or whatever. And I'm like, you don't need to say you're sorry anymore. We're going to work through this. And my wife's like, well, maybe you guys shouldn't. If it's so hard, maybe you shouldn't do it. I'm like, we're going to do it, because this is what dads and sons do. And so we're taking it to the end. But it's just been an amazing thing just to see God work in both of us, and to see, you know, your son not as a kid but as a man, you know, and to see all his talents and abilities. But how about some of you guys, the hard part of being about dad right now?
Easy to talk about the hard stuff,
right? Yeah, it is.
So this is Steve Rydell. I think as most men, I have a one-track mind, and I can do a lot of things really well if that's all I'm focused on. And with 9 children, they all have different needs, they all have different pursuits, whatever, and just trying to be the dad for them at that moment is challenging, to shift gears, so to speak, without a clutch and go from one thing to the next, and it gets frustrating at times, because I'm not, you know, I'm going from an older child who's trying to do something physical to a younger child who just wants to sit and cuddle, maybe. And it becomes a struggle sometimes. And I'm reminded of God's grace every time I start to get frustrated when that happens, that he's, you know, you talked about God being there with us. So that's a struggle for me, and I just got to keep working at it. My wife, she's like the circus juggler with, you know, balancing on a tightrope with throwing hatchets and knives and feeding lions, and you know, she's a multitasker, and you know, she doesn't understand how I can't do two things at once. You know, like, why can't you watch two children? It's like, because they're doing two different things. And, you know, so anyway, it's just, so anyway, but she handles it, and I think we're a good match for that. But yeah, that's a struggle, is just trying to meet each child's need when they need it, not when I can get around to it.
Yeah. Oh, somebody else. Or we'll let him. Yeah, and then hand it to him.
So good and bad. I mean, Andrew, I was going to say good, first of all, is the side where I got nine kids as well. And I enjoy the different, being able to be a dad to each age. And you don't have enough time for each. And it's a big struggle to be what you should be for each age. This little guy was my favorite until one. I told them all, the baby is the favorite, but at 1 year old, it stops and we're all back to equal again. That's how it was for all of you. So but anyways, growing up, it was difficult to be lost in the mix. I'm the oldest of six, and even as the oldest, I'm like one of my sons who just likes to go play by myself and do crazy stuff, climb trees, whatever. And so you can get lost in the mix of what's going on. And, you know, if you don't have a plan or a goal, you're destined to not, to just be whatever happens, right? To just go through life. And so being intentional is not my style. It's very spontaneous. That's what I like about life. But I'm having to switch gears and really plan for what do I want my, you know, what's 5 years from now look like? What does that look like when one or two are gone and they're making their own decisions? How am I inputting now to help that so that you're getting these phone calls later on, so that you're having positive results later on? You know, how do you be proactive? How do you change the future now? And it takes a little bit of internal growing up where it's like, man, I hate being serious all the time, but I've got to be the bad guy. I've got to say no. And now I've got to say, this is the direction we're going and we're going to stick to it. And then once we're in that direction, once everybody's along, you start having fun again, then things start going positive. And so that's kind of the good and bad where I'm at right now.
That's Chuck Wimp from DePaul, Indiana again. Still got the same issues I had 2 years ago. Too much work, not enough other time, but you know, growing up, my dad bestowed in me a very strong work ethic, 6-7 days a week. I don't do those anymore, but I still put all the time that I do the 6-7 days a week in the five. And it's just so hard to get home at night. My son's like me, we can sit there and do nothing together, sit in our, you know, empty, mindless, nothing boxes that the women swear we don't have. But it's so hard. I was in my doctor's office here a while back, and I was talking to my doctor, and I was like, yeah, I get home at night, and I'm sitting there 8, 9 o'clock at night, and I go in, I pray with the kids, and my 13-year-old girl, she's like, starts talking. And I'm like, you know, I got to go to bed. You know, I got to go to bed. And a half an hour later, I'm finally saying, you know, I got to go to bed. But he told me, he said, when they come to you, want to talk, just talk, because so at some point they won't. So it's very hard for me, because working, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, sometimes it's hard to cut out that time. And on the weekend, since they're homeschooling, my wife's overdone it on the homework this year. So they, you know, sitting in there doing homework on Saturdays. They're probably, if they're up over there now, they're doing homework. So I got told, if you see them out, you tell them they better have their homework done before they come out. But just, it's, for me, it's because of what how I grew up, I didn't have anyone around to show me how to spend time with the kids. So, you know, it's, I use that as a crutch, because, you know, all I got is look to God, and God's always there for me, so I need to always be there for them.
Go ahead, Paul.
This is Paul Henning again. I think the hardest thing for me has just been in that transition out of being the primary person in Stephanie's life. Because she's 28 years old. And, you know, I always took very seriously that my family was my responsibility, and that I would be there, I would take care of things, I would protect, do all that. You know, when You know, I was the guy that was out there changing the oil on the car, and I was the guy that was, you know, hanging pictures on the wall and doing all these types of things. And, you know, now she's 2,000 miles away, and I can't do that. I'm not able to hang pictures on her wall. I'm not able, you know, I realize she's driving her car to work 5 days a week, and if that car, you know, I can't be changing the oil. I can't be checking the tires. I don't, you know, if that car breaks down, I'm not going to be the one that gets the phone called. Hey, Dad, come help. You know, there's somebody else is going to take that call. And that's a struggle for me. You know, I want to be there evaluating the young men that are around her in her life and maybe intimidating some of them a little bit. I just don't have that ability. And so, that at times has really been a stress. You know, sometimes I'm at the end of the day and I'm lying in bed at night before I fall asleep, and it's just like I'm powerless to do anything for her right now. And and I don't know how many times God has just answered back to me and just said, "Will you trust me? Will you trust me?" And so it's really been a stretch to my faith. It really has, to just say, yeah, okay, she was yours first, and I need to take my hands off.
Somebody else? Anybody over on this side?
Since you asked. So, couple things I'll say, kind of answer both. This is David Moore, by the way. Both to the good and the bad, and a lot of things are like that, right? There's like two sides to the good thing can also be the tough thing. It's that way getting married. Like when you're married, you're the perfect man until you're married, right? and all of a sudden, not even close. You've got a lot of things that you don't realize that surface and come out, and you're like, wow, I've got a lot to work on. And so marriage rounds you out, but then kids do the same thing. They come along and they really start to draw out some of the weaknesses or the struggles where it's a good thing because you need growth. It's how God grows us and stretches us. And for someone that I was the oldest in my family, I come from a large family, I was pretty independent early on, and so I need to learn dependence on the Lord, and I need to be stretched in that way. You know, I need to be shown the areas that need his attention. And when you're telling your five-year-old you need to pull it together and not be a mess, you know, you're just tired, and you know, your gracious wife is like, well, you know, when you get tired, you can be a mess. That's pretty humbling. You know, it's like, wow, if I struggle with this, I can't be too demanding of them at their age and what they're doing. And so there's a learning curve there that really, really grows you. And something that's cool about that too is every child being a little bit different. The boys are different from the girls. I mean, the boys are into everything, and I didn't realize how much they would be at a young age, right from the time they're born. Almost they're getting into stuff, they're climbing stuff, they're, you know, the girls are much more subdued, and they want to kind of create, and they want, you know, boys want to destroy what they create. So there's just like each one has different aspects that are teaching you different things. So it's a great thing to watch and a fun thing. It's also challenging, it's tough, and it's I appreciate how much it's shaping me, or has shaped me, and is, you know, continuing to do so.
Anybody else? Well, anybody got a question? Maybe like a just a throw out, you know, what do you do with this that maybe others can answer? Or maybe you're facing something right now, and you don't have to come up with something, but if you have one.
Yes, this is Frank Stapleton. How do you deal with children that don't share the same interests as you?
That's a good question. How do you deal with children, and you, and by dealing with, how do you interact with children, right?
Yes.
You know, that maybe don't have the same interests. Because I know some pretty amazing dads that I'm always like, wow, they took them to go see an air show, but they took them because they like to go see air shows. Okay.
Because I kind of answer that, how you deal is you just let them do it. I mean, you know, my oldest boy is a musician. I'm not even sure what a musical note looks like, okay? Or that could, you know. But he is into everything music. And it's a struggle for me because, you know, like, sometimes I just want to come home and sit and kind of be quiet for the day. And that's the moment he comes and sits next to me at the piano, which is next to my chair, and starts banging away. And I'm just like, you know, I mean, just exasperate. But then I have to, you know, like, that's his gift. You know, that's God's hands on him. And I just, you know, I think, you know, the word tolerance is probably overused or misunderstood in today's society some. But I have to be tolerant of those interests. And also to encourage as well. You know, whether that's encouraging by paying for music lessons, or sending him off with people I know from church or whatever to go to a concert so he can be exposed to those things. But yeah, that's, you gotta let him grow and let him spread out and around. So
go ahead, Paul.
My daughter and I are both creative people, but in very different ways. I'm kind of a macro creative guy on the large scale. I built the camper, I built cabinetry, and I've done homes and things like that. And whereas she does beads and small drawings and small craft type things. And the small stuff doesn't really interest me. But it's been interesting to me to note that you know, there are times when I would do that with her. And when she talks about the past and things that we've done together, that's it. Those are the things that she brings up. She'll talk about the time that I made this little tiny sculpture of something. And it's not like, wow, Dad, those were great times. You know, it's not that that she's saying, although it's true, because those are the things that come most readily to mind, is those are the times that I entered her world instead of her entering my world. And so did I have a lot of fun doing it? It was okay, you know, but it's very memorable to her. I have a good friend, young man, dad of two girls, and I mean, he's a man's man if there ever was. Big football player. He's probably 6'6" and well over 200 pounds of just muscle. Just a mountain of a guy. And I'll be over at their house. I'll show up at their house to say hi. He'll be out in the backyard wearing a tutu and a tiara with his girls just crawling all over him. You know, man, building memories. So, yeah.
Because don't you think that's, you know, part of it, though? I mean, because my dad always says, if you enjoy doing it and you're serving, it's self-serving, really. But if you're serving and you don't enjoy it, it's selfless. You know, and I think he's right. Because, you know, because my brother-in-law, he's going to be here a little bit later. He's going to bring some of his girls. And he's a player. I always envy him because, you know, he loves playing the games. He looks like he's having such a great time. And I could use that as my default and say, well, that's not what I do. You know, because I'm a sitter. I would sit over there on the rocking chairs, you know, and watch them play. But really, it is an act of the will, isn't it? I mean, it's just I make myself get up and I go play the games because they need me to play the games, like Paul said. And they remember those things maybe even stronger. Maybe they even know that it's selfless. You know, I don't know. Drew, and then we're gonna run out of time here.
All right. So this may be a question for you guys who's got bigger families. How do you afford it? right? Like, I've got this is family of six, and I can't, like, if we go out, like, we don't go out as a family to, like, eat, like, but maybe once every quarter of a year, right? And then how do you afford, like, how do you budget your time spent? Because now each one of my kids needs dad time, but so does my wife, right? And I can't seem to balance the financial aspect or the time aspect, you know, of that. So what do you guys do?
Well, I'm going to answer it because I have the answer. No. The part about the kids, you know, this, I know some dads, and maybe some of you are amazing dads. He'll say, you know, we go out every Friday. I take a different kid. I have a good friend down in Florida, and on, I think it's Saturday morning, he takes one of his seven kids each time, you know, and they go out for breakfast, and I'm just always amazed, and I always feel guilty because I'm thinking, I don't do that with my kids. Here's my thinking. You know, I want my kids to know that they're part of a family, you know, so I don't feel that pressure. Now, I take advantage of those little times when we have the times, you know, when I run to the hardware store, if I'm saying, hey, somebody want to go with me, if they go with me, we do that, you know, and but I don't feel that pressure like I have to spend special dad time alone, because it's not always very feasible, you know, unless it's natural. Sometimes we'll go out of our way, but I want my kids to know that family is the unit, you know, because I don't want my kids later on when they're adults to feel like that they need their own time, you know, because really, I know some of us dads do. We feel like we have all these kids. I can't get my own time. I wish I had grown up knowing I don't get my own time except when I die, you know? And so I want my kids to know that the best part is being a family. So we, you know, because of sheer numbers, we do stuff together, and I'm okay with that. As far as the financial part, I don't know the answer, but I know this is part of the answer. Because one time we were, every fall, we go to Fort Wilderness at Disney World. We camp there, you know. We don't always go to the parks. We just go to Fort Wilderness. That's our place. And one time we were pulling in, this is several years ago, and as we're pulling in, there's another camper lined up, and I hear this, hey, it's the family man. And I look up, and this guy, I mean, it looked like the Ma and Pa Kettle go to Fort Wilderness. I mean, there were kids sticking out of every single window on this camper. I mean, there were just hundreds of them. And I said, and we just talked for a few minutes. He goes, yeah, we came up and we saved our money, and he goes we're gonna do it all. He said, we're gonna get the ice cream, we're gonna buy, you know, and because, you know, a single ice cream cone at Disney World costs like $27 or something like that. And I said, wow, how many kids you got? And I think he said he had 12, and I mean, there looked more than 12, but he said, you know, I just want my kids to know that having a big family isn't a detriment, you know. And it was like his mindset again. He just chose that he was going to spend the money. You know, it didn't sound like he was, you know, he'd taken a loan out, they had saved it. But you know, my cousin Scott always says, he says, it'll grow back. And I'm thinking, you know, that's a pretty good philosophy, that it'll grow back. And really, I don't know about some of you other big families, but I've noticed that God meets all those needs. I think sometimes when we just step out and say we're gonna, and I don't know if it's about eating out, but you know, maybe it's on, I know dads will say, oh, we can't go on a vacation because we have too many kids. I never say those phrases, you know, because I want my kids to think that having kids is a good thing, not a bad thing. So if we say we have to save, or, you know, even guys who say we never go on a vacation, like, you need to go on a vacation. You know, I talk to your wives sometimes and they get tears in their eyes. And they say, well, can you tell my husband to take us on a vacation? Because we want to go on a vacation. They go, it doesn't have to be a big thing. And so, again, we're out of time. Does anybody else have any comments on that? Just quickly. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to say that I don't think there's any right answer for any of these questions, but if we lead with our hearts and trust in Christ, he always leads us through the straits.
Okay, we're going to close it down because your wives are going to come here in just a little bit. Again, guys, I can't tell you how much you all mean to me for being on this team. I mean, it means a lot. Just because I get your emails, every day I get lots of emails. And when you share your struggles, it just makes me feel good knowing that I'm on the same team that you are. Again, thanks for being here. We look forward to a great, great, great day. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for this time that we've had to talk, and I just thank you for the collective wisdom here and the collective experiences. I just thank you so much for a bunch of dads being willing to give up some of their time to be a part of this. And I pray that the memories that are going to be made today would be forever memories. And I pray for every dad around here, because sometimes I know, even for myself, it's easy to feel a little stressed out when you got all these other dads who are looking at you being a dad and your kids are being an animalish. And I just pray that we wouldn't feel that and that we would do a lot of smiling today. We thank you for this time, and I thank you for each man here. Would you just bless them? In your name we pray. Amen.
And that's our show for this week, Dads. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, you can email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.